Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday morning, May the 4th, 2026, Election Eve, Primary Eve, we should say. Coming up on 16 minutes past the hour here. This hour, we're joined in the studio by one of the candidates tomorrow night in the Republican primary for County Commissioner, four-way race, former 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Jason, here we are, eve of the primary. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Good to have you here. A four-way race. We've discussed this a lot on the air about how this vote's going to be cut up because of a four-way race and a Republican primary. How do you see things going tomorrow?
I personally can't put a percentage on any candidate. I just know it's going to be, I feel that it's going to be close.
Who do you think, other than yourself, because obviously you want to have confidence in yourself, right, is the strongest candidate? Who's your competition?
So what I can't wrap my head around is Stuyvesant.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I have Stuyvesant on the extremes. Either he's dead last, or he's the 40%, 45% guy running away with it. Just because he was, his name recognition on the east side of the county, and he held the position of a county commissioner for 12 years.
It is interesting that people seem to think that he's been left behind, but I'm not sure that that's the case.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But again, like I said, I got him on the extremes.
Now, Neff and Mooney, how do you see them?
I see them as the same candidate.
So you think they will split a vote?
Yes. Well, I think they will definitely split votes between themselves and pull votes from Mooney will definitely pull votes from Stuyvesant.
Now, in a primary, is the county commissioner race an issue-oriented race?
I believe, well, I know my campaign has been issue-driven. I don't know the others. I've not really watched or monitored any other candidates and what they're doing. So I can't speak on theirs, but I can speak on my campaign. It is issue-driven.
And what issues are important to you?
What I've been hearing on people's front porches, definitely the budget. Why are commissioners spending more than they take in? Transparency. And that is majority of the people I speak to, I ask them, do you know who your commissioners are? Typically, they say no. Do you know when they meet? They don't know who their commissioners are, so obviously they don't meet. They assume it's in the evenings, but when I tell them, no, it's not. It's 8:30 on a Tuesday morning and 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning. And that's something that needs to be changed so that the public can have input in what their government does.
You know, it's interesting to me because obviously you are a longtime Republican, always have been, never, to my knowledge, thought of leaving the party. But people in a primary still see you as an outsider. Why is that?
Because I have independent thoughts. I don't buy into the Republican groupthink that a lot of other Republicans do. And not saying that they're bad people, but I have my own thoughts. And my thoughts are always based in Republican principles.
Well, it's fascinating because when people talk about how this vote is going to be cut up tomorrow, whether I've talked to Democrats, people in broadcasting, people in journalism, or Republicans, they all start by saying, Jason has the possibility to get this amount of votes because they see you as the outsider in that party.
Yes, and that's my only path to victory that I think. When I first decided to run, I knew it would be tight. But if I can get somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 to 32%, I think that's a winning percentage.
Well, here's a question, because tomorrow night when we do our election coverage, we've actually got somebody really crunching the numbers. And one of the questions they had, the time you ran for commissioner two times ago, the percentage was rather low. It was in the teens, I believe.
Yes. It was, that was the Davis-Stuyvesant
Yes. This race four years ago.
Yes.
But then when you ran 2 years ago, you actually got it up to 30% in a three-way race and actually got more votes than the current county commissioner at that time, Kerr Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So what changed? Is it going to be more like 2 years ago or 4 years ago?
I believe that the two times I ran, I built my base. And I don't think I've done anything to upset my base. And so I believe that'll continue to build.
If you do get 30% tomorrow night, do you think that any of the other candidates with 70% of the vote left could get over 30%?
So there's where I'm not 100% sure what Stuyvesant's going to do.
Do you think you've got 30%?
I don't want to limit myself to 30%.
Well, do you think you've got at least 30%?
I think I do.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's very interesting. Where do you think you'll end up?
Well, obviously I want to win. So.
I mean, percentage-wise. where do you think you'll be?
So, I think that the winning number for any of the candidates will be 30 to 35%.
And
I think I can be there.
How many doors have you knocked?
I don't count doors. I know that the city has been gone over three times. The villages have been knocked on twice. And I don't know where I'm going today. So maybe a couple of the villages will get a third round.
What are the response? What is the response?
It's always positive, because when you meet someone on the front porch, most people don't say, get off my lawn. If they answer the door, they're engaging and they're pleasant. And I've not left a door without an encouraging word.
But a lot of people will say, you know what, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate that, but I'm going to vote for such and such because of... Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happened to me.
That's not happened to me.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. They're just being polite and cutting the conversation short for me to leave. I don't know, but I try to keep it short because I don't want to take up their time.
Not a direct number here, but what do you think an estimate is of doors you've knocked on? 2,000, 3,000?
Oh, every bit of that.
That's a lot.
At least that's probably one round.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I'm not, the dust has not collected on me at all.
So for everybody who says you lost a primary in the third ward that didn't even have hundreds of votes,
mm-hmm.
There's no way you can survive here. You would say what? What's different?
The campaigning effort's different completely.
So what did happen in the third ward race last time around?
So, a part of me, well, to be 100% honest, I had no intentions on running for that term at all. I was done with city council, and I could see the way it's going, and the way it is going right now is just, it boggles my mind. So, I really wasn't even in that election. I just filled out the paperwork because Ralph Smith decided he was going to run for the third ward, and I thought, well, I'm not going to give it to him. So he had to earn it, but being 100% honest, I wasn't in that race in my headspace, and I was done with council because of the way it was going then and the way it is now.
So how much are you in this race?
I'm 100% invested in this race.
Okay, as opposed to 2 years ago when you did get 30% of the vote, did you campaign harder than that this time?
I've campaigned harder this time than I have in any campaign that I've ever ran.
And because?
Because it's more meaningful right now. Because I can see the county going the way of the city because of the individuals that are in place.
You know, a lot of people would have said, this is a four-way race. There is a lot of room to be nasty in this primary. And heaven knows a lot of other primaries have gotten nasty in the Republican Party this time around.
Yes.
Yeah, imagine. From gubernatorial to 86th district and so on and so forth. Why has this primary not gotten nasty? I really, there's like campaigning going on, but not a lot of negativity.
It's a good thing. to me, I think it's a great thing. I've not one time said, I don't think I've ever said anything nasty. If I am at someone's door, and the question always comes up, well, who are you running against? So then I'm honest with them. I tell them the other three candidates, and I've not said a negative word about any of the candidates while I'm standing on someone's door trying to get them to vote for me. I think that's the way we should campaign. We should present ourselves in contrast between the other candidates and not just mudsling.
How much is our $5 gas prices in the last week going to hurt Republicans tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, I don't think it'll hurt much because it's a Republican primary. But in a general election, I think it's really going to hurt Republicans, especially if it carries on for any length of time.
You know, this is a local issue in that obviously people have to fill their tanks.
Yes.
But truly, what can any state politician do about this?
The state politicians, there is a state gas tax, but if they pull that back, then our roads go to crap fast. A commissioner can't really do anything, but what a commissioner can do is make sure that they're running the county on a tight budget so they're not coming to people's pockets asking for more money when these individuals in the county are paying $5 a gallon of gas.
If you do win tomorrow night, Andy Apatheller and Kevin Davidson will be the other two commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see them as similar? Do you think you could get a majority of votes in a meeting on certain things?
That's the advantage of being on the Board of County Commissioners. There's three. And on council, there was nine. So anyone that had an agenda or an item they wanted to pass through council, you would have to get four other people on your side. On the Board of Commissioners, you only have to get one other person. And I think I can work well with both of them.
You know, and maybe I've just missed it, has Apatheller or Davidson, have they endorsed anybody in this race?
I don't think Apatheller has endorsed anyone the entire time he's been a commissioner. Kevin Davidson, I can recall that he has endorsed Wesleyan, but as far as the commissioner candidates, I can't say for sure.
And Mark Davis, in this race, surprisingly to a lot of people, endorsed Mrs. Neff.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people thought he would endorse Stuyvesant. But maybe there was some leftover stuff from the last...
I never had that thought. I when I heard that Neff was a candidate, and I think Davis was on your show and said that he would lean towards her, that was on his mind the entire time.
Now, Mrs. Neff, you would have to say, is campaigning a lot for political office. What do you think, and she's the only woman in the race, mm-hmm. does that still work against people?
Campaigning or being a woman? I don't know. I'm not a woman, so I don't know how that affects people.
We haven't had a female county commissioner in quite a while. We have had one.
Yeah, I can't even remember her name. What was the...
I'm trying to remember what her name was. It's been that long ago. It's been at least 25 years, or pretty close to it.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't
but a long it. Time.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it hurt, but if she's campaigning, I haven't seen any evidence of her campaigning other than signs.
Sign. Okay, let's talk signs, because Matt is fascinated by signs. He went out driving the whole county.
Did he get out of his neighborhood, though?
I don't know. He went around looking, counting signs.
With $5 a gallon gas, I don't think he left his driveway.
And he seemed to feel that Mooney and Neff had the sign game taken care of.
Yeah, and again, signs don't vote. And even on my sign campaign, I've had people that own rental properties. They give me their address of these rental properties, and I pop signs in them. That doesn't mean the person living there is going to vote.
That's true, but...
And someone's an opponent's sign in someone's yard has not stopped me yet for going up to that door knocking.
And they're still...
They're still very cordial.
Still good. Mm-hmm. Hey, I think we have a call here.
Okay.
Let's go to the call. All right, caller, you're on with Jason. Go ahead.
That long time name you can't remember, Kelly. She lived in Oakland Heights.
Lived just about
100 yards from me. Good woman. If that's an example of a woman being in politics, there ought to be more in politics. So I'll put that cut in there. And good luck, Jason.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. All right. Well, there we go. And that's true. Maybe it certainly seems to be the day is changing when that was a problem for people being a woman.
Yeah, and hopefully it is. We shouldn't base something solely on gender of people, just like race and all that other stuff. It should be the qualifications of that individual.
As you said, tomorrow night is a Republican primary, but one thing that I think is going to drive votes in all these counties is the gubernatorial primary. Now, we've got Vivek Ramaswamy and Casey Putch in that particular race, and I think a lot of people do just show up for the top of the ticket. Who, again, as you say, most people don't even know who their county commissioner mm-hmm. is. So, with Vivek Ramaswamy's seemingly, I don't think he's going to lose tomorrow night by any stretch of the imagination, but he certainly has had a deterioration in his campaign over the last year.
Yes.
What do you think that means to Marion County?
For the commissioner candidates?
Yeah, because I
don't really know, because I don't know how that translates.
Well, how do you feel about Vivek Ramaswamy? Because so many people endorsed him early. It felt like if you were running for office this time around, you had to endorse him. But now nobody is talking about him except him.
That is true. I was big on Vivek very early on, and mainly because of I liked him as the presidential candidate. But I've softened on Vivek here recently, but I don't think Putch has a chance, and there's some things that he wouldn't denounce. I mean, simply when I believe you asked him, are you a racist or whatever that question was, and he danced around that. Just whatever, just give a straight answer.
But do you think in that particular race, and not to spend too much time on this, because I want to talk more about yours, but do you think that's the real problem with Vivek here? I mean, there are obviously some other issues, but the turn on him with the Trump endorsement and the endorsement of the Republican Party has been staggering in the last year. And his opponent is a guy who says, I won't denounce racism, I won't denounce anti-Semitism.
Right.
And if a guy like that gets over 10% of the vote tomorrow night, and in Marion County, Morrow County, places like this, a little more rural areas than Franklin County, if he gets something like 30% and these counties are above, that's not good for Vivek.
Yeah, and I think the state Republican Party got ahead of themselves by endorsing a candidate for a primary. And that's probably that is one of the reasons why I've softened on Vivek, because I don't need a state party telling me who to vote for. And we don't have very good quality candidates as well. But how it plays out in the primary, I don't think Vivek will have an issue. But in the general election, especially if since Republicans are in charge and we got $5 a gallon gas, it's going to be a challenge for Republicans in November.
I was shocked the other day when Greg Haas was in here, longtime Republican or Democrat, Democratic consultant, and said that he feels Amy Acton will win by 15 points because of the situation.
In the general?
In the general.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is.
But what is this division in the Republican Party right now? Because your race has a division. People see you as the outsider. The 86th District, people see Ben Weber as the Tracy Richardson's heir apparent. And Weslin has kind of positioned herself as the outsider. Boy, that treasurer's race is fascinating. The vice president is backing Jay Edwards. And Ramaswamy is backing Ms. Roehringer, the other candidate, and we've just talked about the gubernatorial race. That's a mess. What happened to the Republican Party in Ohio?
I don't know. And the statewide races, aren't they just playing musical chairs? Because most of them are term limited from some office that they're holding or the current office, and they're going to another one.
A lot of them. Faber, Sprague.
Yeah. And I guess that's what we ask for when we ask for term limits, but I don't know what's going on in the Republican Party.
What does it mean to be a Republican in 2026? What are those values?
Those values to me are small government, low taxes, and a government that serves the people.
In a county commissioner race, What does it mean to be a Republican there? Well, what are the big issues people should be concerned with? What are the differences?
So the issue that I'm concerned with is the budget.
The budget.
And I think that should concern everyone, because if we don't get a handle on it now, if we wait, kick the can down the road a few more years, there will have to be significant layoffs, and that will cut into core services, and core services being the sheriff's department, safety. And no one wants that.
So what is your plan to fix the financial problems in the county?
Mine is simple. Mine is very simple. Whatever the county auditor says is the projected revenue, you either build a budget that is at that amount, or I would prefer the budget to come in below that amount. And that's as simple as it gets.
Where do the cuts come from?
Right now, and this is my math, just from what information I can gather, if there's a 15% cut, and that's a rounded up number, I think the actual number is around 11, 12%. If we do a 15% cut from the general fund departments, that will bring us to slightly below projected revenues for 2027. And that doesn't cut into much significantly. It doesn't significantly make cut into services, or I don't even think it'll lay people off.
So where will we see that in the county? What will we see cut back? If it's the general fund that's
cut back.
Are you
asking specific lines?
Well, like where would we notice something?
Well, that's the point. If we do it now, we won't notice anything.
So this can be done without any significant change.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Yes, and that's why I say it's very simple. You find your projected number and what that projected revenue is. It's about a 15% cut from the 26 budget to get there.
So why wasn't this done in prior years?
I don't know. I've spoke with a couple departments about the 26 budget, and the departments built their budget, sent it to the commissioners, and from what the departments have told me, the commissioners never ask a question. They just rolled with it. Instead of coming back and say, well, can you trim a little here? Can you trim a little there? Can you get to this targeted number for your overall budget? That conversation never happened.
Does the county need to work with the city more often?
For sure. There should be collaboration between the two government entities, for sure.
It seems like there's been a lot more discussion of that in recent years. That let's talk, let's try to come together on some things and see what can happen.
Yeah, and that's been talk for years. And I believe, I don't know why, but Mayor Collins has been walking out of Commissioner Chambers on meeting night days on Thursdays, so he's talking to the commissioners about something. If I was to guess what it is, it's about the hospital sale.
Well, we heard a little bit about that, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were against that because there is a lease going on there that the city and the county receive money mm-hmm. in regard to, but selling it would be a lot of money up front. But
would it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. How much is all that worth out there at this point?
Well, if what I've been told is correct, if the lease goes to, I believe it expires in 2037, I believe. And so when we renegotiated the lease, or at one point with the lease, council put in there a clause that says whatever revenue is generated in Marion County, a percentage of that is put into a separate account. And so over a 30-year lease, you can imagine what revenues that hospital has generated in Marion and what this account could be. And that could be $300, $400, $500 million. And right now, a proposal that I've heard, and again, I'm not involved in these meetings, is just the whispers that I've heard. Ohio Health offered somewhere around $100 million to purchase the hospital. So we would be absolute fools to take $100 million now just to cover a little bit of accounting errors and give up maybe $500 million.
Well, we would be remiss if we didn't ask this question. The second plan for the city was turned into the state on April the 6th, I believe we were told.
Yeah, we're almost a month away, and I believe we were told that we would get an answer back pretty quickly once it's turned in.
Yeah. Well, what do you think's going on there?
This is just my thoughts. I don't have any information that's factual, but I would assume, just because of the timing, we're a month away from the submitting of the plan. And I don't know if you noticed the fire department reduced staff from 13 to 11, just out of the blue on a Sunday or a Saturday. I would guess that the answer they got back from the state wasn't a favorable answer.
So you think the state has responded?
We were told all along, publicly, even the mayor said, what was it, last Friday he would know something, or two Fridays ago, I can't remember exactly which.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, that he would have some answer. He told committees that, so he hasn't said anything, so one has to assume that they didn't like the answer they got back.
Are you surprised?
Because if they did get an answer and they accepted it, wouldn't they be touting that every chance they could, like, we finally got a plan and here's our plan and we're moving forward?
Well, how many chances do they get at this?
I don't know. I didn't think they would get a second one. Maybe they're close enough that they could get a third one. I don't know. But it's strange to me that the fire department put out a Facebook post on, I believe it was Saturday, at least that's when I noticed it, that on May 3rd that they're reducing staff.
What have you made of the performance of the new council?
I haven't followed council hardly at all because I've been dealing with my own campaign. But one thing that is disturbing to me is the recent decorum or council
rules. Oh, yeah, that comes to a head tonight.
That they want to put forward. And I also heard, I don't know if it's in committee or if it's on council floor, if it's just being talked about, they want to change terms from 2 years to a four-year term.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. I don't understand why the need for that, but it's their council. They can do what they want.
Well, you still live in the city. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about what's going on in the city?
I don't like the 2 to 4 year terms. I don't like the limited speech that they're trying to do. And I kind of see why they're doing it, because there is a lawsuit against the city. So maybe this is a kind of a CYA action. I don't know.
Do we know what the lawsuit is?
It's the Naomi Craig.
That one. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be my only guess why they would try to set solid rules or change the rules for council to reflect that they always have limited speech. It's not just Naomi that they limited.
You know, I was having a discussion with somebody the other night, and I said, you know, I remember a lot of past presidents of council going.
Yes,
back,
and you keep forgetting Dave Edwards.
Dave Edwards is the one who I forget. Yes,
he was the greatest council president that I think ever graced city council.
So we've had Phil Reed, Dave Edwards. We've had Dr. Scott Gray. Yep. We've had Todd Schneider.
Kate Fisher.
Okay, now I was always under the impression that one of their jobs was to keep control of the room.
That's the role of the council president is to run the meeting.
Right. So why do you even need rules of decorum if council president is stopping people from going on too long or stopping people from making threats or using inappropriate language? Why do you need these things?
My guess is there's a lawsuit that the city's going to lose money over and they're trying to change it.
So that now these will be hard and fast rules.
Yep.
Do you think this will get through council fairly easy?
I don't know. I hope not, but I don't. When I sat on council, I never voted against allowing someone outside the county to speak. I believe that happened here recently.
It did happen last week.
That made no sense to me at all. But I enjoyed the back and forth from the public, because sometimes you get a different perspective on something you're about to vote on. Go ahead.
No, before we come back to the county, I got to ask you, because you live in the 3rd Ward, what do you make of the Logan Tire, across the street from Logan Tire, Dollar General lease idea? Is the land contaminated? Is it not? We've got to suspend the rules. Whole kerfluffle downtown.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. And so if that area needs a grocery store, they call it a food desert. Okay, great. That's a great idea. But the problem I have with is the process this went through to get the ends do not justify the means in my mind. And I really take issue with an EPA grant cleaning up tires. I believe it was an EPA grant or a grant through the health department.
Health department, yeah.
Cleaning up tires on a for-profit business that's in the business of tires. And, okay, so if they did receive this grant, which they did receive it, to me, and I know this is going to upset a lot of people, but that business shouldn't be in business anymore because they can't take care of the tires that they accumulate as a as a course of doing business. Why would tax dollars, which grant dollars are tax dollars, they come from somebody, go in and clean that up? But like I said, the ends don't justify the means. We should not be using these grants just to get this food desert. If Dollar General or Dollar Family Dollar or whatever store is going in there, if it's a viable location to them, let them pay for it.
Do you think the land's contaminated?
Well, when I was a kid, it was a junkyard. So I have no idea. And then, so let's play that out, that they do soil samples and they say you cannot disturb that dirt because of XYZ contaminants are in there. The dollar store backs out. So you've done all this silly business leading up to that and you got nothing.
Hmm. And we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
Some people did have some concern. The rules did not get suspended last Monday.
I've heard multiple times that the tires that were piled up on that lot came from city cleanups. That is not true at all. Whenever the city did a tire collection, we used a different contractor.
One more race I want to talk about tomorrow night is one that also extends into Marion County, so it could have implications in your race depending on what's driving the vote tomorrow night, is the 86th District. And also because when you ran for 3rd Ward the last time in that primary, one of the candidates, Wesleyan, got involved in your race on the final day, I believe. What do you think's going on there with Ben and Stephen Wolf and Wesleyan Davis?
I don't know. What I can say, Wolf came to my house, dropped off some literature. I wasn't home at the time, very early, before early voting even started. Not this Saturday, but a week ago Saturday, Ben Weber was at my house. I spoke to him on my front porch. And then Sunday, a gentleman came to my door. He is with the, I believe it is either Americans for Prosperity or Ohioans for Prosperity, campaigning on behalf of Wesleyan. So I think Wesleyan might have came out too early on her campaign because she was putting out signs before you can even turn in a petition. And I think her light might have dimmed a little bit. Ben came out, at least in Marion County, a little bit later, and as his star is, or his light's glowing a little bit brighter right at the right time. Wolf, like I said, I saw evidence of him in Marion County very early and nothing since.
So your prediction is in that race?
I have no idea, because on weekends when we go down our cabin in Denton County, we go through Marysville. Now, if you go through Marysville, it's Ben Weber and Wolf signs everywhere. You don't see very many Wesleyan signs. So I don't know. how Wolf plays into the Union County vote.
The majority of the votes for this seat do come from Union County.
Yes, and I told Weber and the gentleman that was campaigning on behalf of a PAC for Wesleyan, I said, it's great that you're here in Marion County, but I think the votes pulled out at Marion County are kind of inconsequential. I'm grateful that you're here, but I think all the votes are in Union County.
Who's your candidate in that race, after talking to a representative and two candidates?
I don't have any candidate, and I've told all of them, with the exception, I told Wesleyan at the very beginning she's likely to win because of how strong she came out early. I didn't foresee Weber coming on as strong as he is. And my vote for the 86 will be an election day decision. I don't have a three-sided coin to flip a coin, but I'll figure something out.
Are all three still viable for you, or you got it down to two?
No, yeah, all three are still viable. It is a bit of a nasty campaign.
A bit?
This go-around again, so that may weigh into it. But you have to do your due diligence and see who's sending out these nasty mailers and stuff. Is it the candidates themselves, or is it PACs on their behalf?
Just one more thing on that, because I think it is representation of a nasty campaign this time around. Mm-hmm. What happened there? Because 2 years ago, it was a nasty campaign with Tracy and Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. Not like this. This has been, let's get the Ohio gun owners involved, let's take pictures with guns, let's trash people on Facebook, let's do mailers, let's do commercials. It is nasty, nasty.
Yep, and whenever I get a mailer, I don't pay much attention to the Facebook stuff, because I don't think any campaign should be solely ran through Facebook. I think that's a losing campaign, in my opinion. But the mailers, the first thing I do, I look down at the disclaimer to see if it's from the candidate or the PAC, or a PAC. And if it's a PAC, I throw it away immediately. If it's a candidate, I may read a little bit more.
Based on a history of campaigning, your prediction for tomorrow night, even if it's not the person you vote for, who do you think is going to pull that out?
On the 86?
Yeah.
I think it's a split. It's going to be split and fragmented as much as the commissioner race. I don't think there's a clear winner that's going to run away with it, in my opinion. I'm probably absolutely wrong, but
so at this point, you don't have any idea who you think might pull that out.
No, I would lean towards Weber just because the timing of his campaign. Now, if the election was held when early voting first started, I would say that would have been Wesleyan hands down, because she had everything up and out, and she was leading a charge, but it was, in my opinion, more of a Facebook-driven campaign. But now Weber, the guy's everywhere. I was campaigning door-to-door in the 6th Ward Thursday, and he'd either just went through the streets that I was, so I was following him through the 6th Ward, and it was him, because I later saw on Facebook that he posted a picture, and I was at the same house that he was at.
Do the Tracy Richardson and Jack Kellogg endorsements mean anything for Weber?
At some point, endorsements don't mean anything. Not that the people making the endorsements mean any are meaningless, but when you get so many, what's the value in it?
Well, that's why I specifically went to those two, because I talked about this in hour number one this morning. You know, the lady at McDonald's endorsed me this morning.
So I feel, yes.
So I feel that I'm, you know,
you're going somewhere.
I'm feeling pretty good. But, you know, I'm looking at the lady who is currently in that seat making an endorsement for Weber. And I'm looking at Jack Kellogg, who was the only person, including McCauley, at the Republican dinner who got a standing ovation. And our current mayor has not made an endorsement, or I would throw his name in there as an important endorsement. Mm-hmm. But do those two in particular mean anything?
So, probably to some people. Mayor Kellogg is a wonderful man. My very first time at running anything, he held a fundraiser for me just before his wife passed. And Mayor Kellogg endorsed me. I was honored to have that endorsement. I ultimately lost that race.
This time, I don't know if he's endorsed anybody, but he does have a Stuyvesant sign
in
his yard.
Yes, yeah. And I think I may have seen a Jack Kellogg endorsement of Stuyvesant. But again, I think he's a wonderful man. He endorsed me probably 20 years ago, held a fundraiser for me, but I still lost.
Does Tracy mean anything?
It's just some people, for sure. Yeah. And she's a little divisive, too, because of how she voted for Speaker of the House. That upset a lot of people, but she was able to overcome that.
So you don't think that's a blowout tomorrow night? It was 20% last time.
I don't think so. So if we go by the metrics that your buddy Matt sets by signs.
By the way, Matt, if we're coming at him again, I gotta get this in here because he did respond. He said it wasn't $5. Gas was not $5 at the time, and I went to Green Camp, Waldo, Caledonia, just Marion County. I did not drive around the city.
Okay.
So there you go.
I think his feelings were hurt. I'm sorry, Matt. But if you use the Matt matrix. Through Union, or not in Union County, I've driven through the city of Marysville, and that is plastered with Wolf and Weber.
Well, that's where the votes are for a lot of people. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Jason, can you hear me?
Yes.
Listen to this. I thought on the beginning of the first half of this show that Scott said he got a divorce from the girl at McDonald's. And after you talked to him and he said it again, indoors, I thought it was a divorce. Isn't that a big chuckle for the ending up of the show?
That's good.
Yes, that is very good. Divorce versus endorsement, that's quite a bit of money difference there.
Yeah, it's two different things. You're right. Thanks.
Go get him, buddy.
All right, bye-bye. All right. Marion County Commissioner, what essentially is the job of a Marion County Commissioner? I don't think a lot of people know.
It's basically overseeing county's property and setting the budget.
Who to you have been good commissioners?
Who to me has been good county commissioners? Andy, I mean, he's been there forever, so obviously he has to be good at something. None of them really stick out as exceptional. It's easier to pick out the bad. Larry Mumper? That goes way back.
It goes way back. He recently passed.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He was there for a short time. I don't even think he finished his first term.
Ken Freyer was there for a while.
Yep. And Ken's passed, I believe.
Yeah, Ken's gone, yeah.
But again, like I said, every one of them you can look back and point at something that some kerfluffle is your word you like to use.
Yeah.
There was Collenberg.
Oh, Dave Collenberg. He had a lot of kerfluffle.
Yeah. Russell. What was his
first? He's gone now, too.
Is he really?
He is. Went very quickly last year, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I was shocked at that.
And the lady we were talking, I already forgot her name again. She may have. I was in high school then, but
Josh Daniels was there.
Josh Daniels, yep, he was a one-term guy.
Kerr Murray was there.
Kerr Murray's an excellent person. I mean, he's a great guy. I don't know. But the lady didn't that event around that term over the county-owned nursing home?
I think so. That wasn't a pleasant time.
No,
for them.
No, it wasn't.
You know, what is, obviously, budgeting, but what are the big issues day-to-day, week-to-week in the county? What are they talking about at those meetings on Tuesday and Thursday morning? I used to cover them for years.
They're very uneventful.
They were like 10-minute meetings.
And they still are.
Yeah.
And so they do proclamations. There's a day or a month or a week nationally recognized for something. So there's at least one or two of those a week. Um, not much goes on.
They get paid a pretty good amount of money.
Yes, they and I was surprised. We had a candidates forum, and the question was, will you take a pay cut? And I legitimately did not know what a commissioner made. And I was astounded to find out they make $81,000.
A year.
A year.
And it's not a full-time job.
And it's not a full-time job.
Get an office.
And I don't know. I would assume that they get medical benefits. I don't know.
Probably. They're city and county employees.
But, yeah, I would take a pay cut. For sure. I was happy at $9,000.
You would take a pay cut.
Oh, for sure.
To what?
To whatever the county commissioners want to set it at. So I believe, and I learned this after the candidates forum, that the state of Ohio decided to classify counties by population, I believe, and that sets the pay rate for county commissioners. If the county commissioners want to, if I'm successful, they want to reduce the incoming commissioner to the minimum pay rate, fine. I'm okay with that, because like I said, as a city councilman, $9,000 is what I made, and it was considered a part-time job just the same.
And that's a big question, because a lot of people have said with the city's financial problems, are the people in the box taking a pay cut? And
so if you're elected official, you cannot take a pay cut or pay increase during the term. So if you take a pay cut, what you have to do is write a check back.
You have to refuse, or I think Doc Brown did this years ago as mayor.
Yes, but you have to, as an individual, write a check back. You receive your full pay, you write a check back. In 2009 through 10, council did that. I wrote back a percentage of our paycheck each month. And just to give back, because we laid off a bunch of police officers and firefighters. I think we lost some of those through attrition, but yeah, we gave back then.
Before we get your pitch in on why people should vote for you tomorrow, because a lot of people, I still think the majority vote on Election Day.
Yes.
So before we do that, though, speaking of kerfluffles, explain this. What happened between you and Sheriff Bales this time around with that candidates forum and a Facebook post?
I have
post?
No idea what happened. I made a comment that hurt his feelings, and he put it on Facebook. He's never spoke to me about it. If I hurt his feelings, okay. And I acknowledge the terms I used.
Explain to people what happened, for people who don't understand this.
So the question was posed to us that's basically, are you capable of making tough decisions when it comes to the budget? And can you do it? Do you have the backbone to do it? And the candidates were kind of stuttering and not really wanting to take that question on, and I was the first one to take the question, because I have experience of, and I explained my experience back in 2000, I believe it was 2010, 2011-ish, somewhere around there, during the Great Depression, or Great Recession, and the experience that I, along with 8 other council members, had when the city's finances was really bad, and Mayor Schertzer said we need to cut more back off this budget, and then it came down to the mayor needed another $1 million, and the police department, in my view, as sitting on council, kind of dug in and wanted to maintain a minimum staffing level, and that $1 million would have reduced their staffing level. So it came to council to make a vote, and with that vote, ultimately, I believe it was 10, 12 police officers were laid off with that one vote. So that was my example of, yes, I can make the tough decisions. And when what I said during the candidates forum, I said the police department chose to eat their young. And that sentence really upset Bales. Why? I don't know. I acknowledge that it was a poor phrasing, but that's just what came out of my mouth at the time.
So that's what that was.
Yeah, and but that's facts. Council voted, and I believe it was unanimous. There may have been one outlier that didn't vote for that. I don't know if it was a budget or if it was a contract renegotiation, but 8 other people at least, or at least 7 other people, voted in favor of doing that, and we laid off, like I said, 10 to 12 police officers with that one vote.
Why should people vote for you tomorrow?
Because my plan is very simple. It's Don't spend more than we take in. I've put in the work. I've been to everyone's door. If you're a Republican, I've been to your door at least three times. And I just, whoever they vote for, I just encourage them to actually go vote on tomorrow, on May 5th.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level for tomorrow night?
Oh, I'm always at a 10.
At a 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Candidate for Marion County Commissioner in the Republican primary tomorrow on Cinco de Mayo, Jason Schauber. Jason, thanks for coming in.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We're done for today. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. www.marionohselfstorage.com. Address 1377.